20 to 8 now. Time to explore and plumb the endless cavernous depths of technology and the things that are developing in it with Fevzi Turkup, the man they call the gadget detective, simply because he is. How are you, Fevzi?
Good. Good morning to you.
Just good, eh? Not super. Are you sleeping at the moment?
No. Yeah, no, this is my AI. I'm actually in bed.
Are you?
This is my artificial intelligence version doing this. I'm safely sleeping in bed.
You'll have an avatar before very long if you haven't got one already. Okay, let's crack on with the
news. Avatar's got an avatar.
Well, I could do with one. Okay, now, we'll start with this. Google is paying for the first automated news project. Does this mean that people like me who made scraped a living for all these years doing news, does this mean it's the end?
It's the beginning of a big change, let's be kind and say a big change. So we're kind of used to the idea of automation in the factories and so forth taking away certain people's jobs, but we're not used to certain professional jobs being overtaken by artificial intelligence. But things like lawyers' jobs and accountants will certainly have their jobs largely replaced, and I think to a large extent most journalists as well. So Google is funding a robot journalism project to the tune of £622,000. The project is actually that of the Press Association news agency, and they have something called Radar, and it's directed at local news media at the moment, because local news is expensive to produce, and for local papers and local outlets of various sorts to be able to produce news is expensive and getting harder and harder. So the idea is that this project, which will still use 5 journalists but will produce 30,000 stories a month.
What?
Which 5 journalists on, yeah. So 30,000 stories, 5 journalists could never do that without the aid of artificial intelligence.
But how can you do? I mean, my only question, you know that I'm an old hack, so I'm bound to say this because I worked on loads of London news desks. How will it be possible for 5 journalists to produce 30,000 stories with the help of whatever app it may be without getting it wrong or libeling somebody?
Well, that is a good question. Try suing the computer, I suppose. So they're going to source official open data sources about health, crime, employment, and other subjects. And the AI will do the legwork. So this is how it works. Imagine, like, you've got an intern, and the intern can't do everything, but they can do certain time consuming things for you and set things up in a particular way. This is what increasingly these AI projects will be doing, but as time goes by, like the intern, they may rise. So I think this is just yet another example of the direction in which all this is going, and we all need to think about our skill sets and what our role is going to be in the future, because a large proportion of jobs will go in our lifetime, and other jobs will be created, but the question is, will we have the skills for those jobs?
Well, I mean, the great worry is, isn't it, and this is not the forum to debate that, but it's an interesting thing to debate. I did a program a few months ago with a guy who was a futurist, who was saying that as a society we have to prepare for this. Maybe we have to think about the idea of paying everybody a basic wage, and then nobody starves, kind of thing, and then you can go and do the things to the level that you want to. But this is a difficulty, and the problem is politicians, I don't think, are being too honest and telling us that this is closer than we think.
Yeah, for large swathes of the population, it is closer than we think. We're talking about 10 years, 20 years, not 50 years. And it is a problem. So this idea of paying everyone a wage is important, because it's no good having all these companies producing products and services if the human beings can't afford them. Unless, of course, they start serving customers who have the right for income and the ability to become consumers themselves. But, if we don't pay people, there's going to be a problem. So then you'll need a tax on computers.
God.
To pay for that.
Yeah. Now I have got a headache. So that's a sign of the times. Here comes another one. WhatsApp is being used increasingly in the NHS. I can't work out whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, it's not legal. Doctors and nurses are using WhatsApp and Snapchat, would you believe, to share information about patients across the NHS. This is according to a GP who says he's aware of a number of medical groups using WhatsApp to discuss patients. The use of internet messaging apps, unsurprisingly, is against NHS guidelines. I'd go further and say it's illegal under data
laws. Right. Well, I just assume they'd be using it for personal reasons, but if they're using it for professional reasons with your data and my data, then that's a serious issue.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, this is to share. So what this highlights is that the NHS has failed to provide proper modern communication tools for its professionals within the NHS to do their jobs, and that these doctors and nurses and other professionals are co-opting these third-party apps, which are not secure and do not meet the data, you know, data privacy requirements that this country's laws demand. And our data is going across public networks and being stored.
So what's going to happen then? I presume that there must be something in the employment code, and maybe somebody listening to this now who works for the NHS can tell me about this, but presumably if you are doing that, it must breach some kind of code.
It does, but this is not the first time. I mean, the Information Commissioner's Office has just investigated how 1.6 million patient records were shared with Google's DeepMind project, which is, again, an artificial intelligence project. It was to share this information, but not in the way that it did. It didn't protect our data in the way that it had a right, and it found that the NHS had been in breach of data laws in the way that it had allowed DeepMind to access the records. So this is a big problem. Oh, by the way, if you want to know where the NHS's data project is, I can just tell you in one fact. The UK's largest purchaser of fax machines is the NHS.
Still?
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's not completely surprising, given that they're one of the largest employers in the country, but they use a lot of fax. We still see these stories. You know, the NHS got you know, compromised in their data services recently, and large parts of it got shut down by that virus that went round. So,
okay. Right. So in a way, what we're saying, just to cut to the chase here, is that staff using this, they're not doing it for any nefarious reason. They're doing it simply because the systems the NHS has got, in some cases, by no means all, I am sure, but in some cases are not as direct or fast as they would want.
Yeah, and people are used to the convenience of in their personal lives of being able to use these apps, and I suppose in a way it's natural for them to co-opt them for this purpose, but they should not and cannot do that.
Well, that is fascinating. I'm sure we will read and hear more about that. I had no idea about that. Let's get to the gadget of the week. It is the Virgin Telly tablet, the new smart TV from Virgin Media. What is? I mean, look, there is a plethora. Tony Blackburn was showing me a TV device yesterday. It's a plethora of these. Why is this a good one?
So this is unusual. So first of all, it's unusual because it's the first time that I'm aware of that Virgin has actually done their own tablet. Obviously, they do set-top boxes and things, but not tablets. And it's a whopping great tablet. I mean, imagine a tablet, but it's got a 14.1-inch screen. It's a full HD screen, a good quality one. It's got a kickstand, so it's a big tablet. It's got Android built into it, so you can just, if you wanted to use it as a giant tablet for general use, you could do, but it's 14.1 inches, which makes Apple's largest tablet, a 12.9 inch, look tiny by comparison. But so it's good for watching TV. The quality is there. It's particularly good if you're a Virgin customer because you can link it to the Virgin TV service and Virgin TV anywhere and watch 110 live channels on it and box sets and all the Virgin content you can get on it that way. But, and you can use it as a giant remote control for your TiVo box as well if you're a Virgin customer.
I love the way they describe it in the blurb. It says it's got an epic 14-inch screen, epic, and it's got four built-in speakers. God knows how something that little and slim can fit all that in.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And even if you're not a Virgin customer, you can then still run apps on it, so you can run Netflix and iPlayer and Sky Cinema and Sky Sports and all that sort of stuff as well.
And how much does all this functionality cost then, Fevzi?
$299, and it's a full HD screen, and it's got expandable storage, so it's got a micro SD card in it, it's got a decent amount of RAM in it, it's got a current version of Android or recent version of Android, and it's got a good set of ports on it, so unlike an iPad, it's got full USB ports on it as well. So I was quite impressed. I've given it 4 stars, and it's £299, which I think is a fair price.
Okay, gets the Fevzi's, 4-star thumbs up. That's 4 fingers, not 5. 4 thumbs. Oh, no, hold on.
4 out of 5.
Now I'm all confused. I must be an alien.
Thumbs, go on.
6 fingers, opposable thumbs, whatever. If people want to contact you with a tech query, Fevzi, or shoot the breeze with you, where do they go?
Best place, come and say hello on Twitter. You can follow me at Gadget Detective.
Thanks, Fevzi, for getting up at this ungodly time in the morning to do this. Have a good week, Fevzi.
Pleasure.
Take care.
You too. Bye now.
Fevzi Turkup, the Gadget Detective, here every Saturday.